Welcome to Trail Mix, where Mary and Jody sort through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Mary Tomlinson and Jody Dreyer, who met when their paths crossed as Disney executives, are now advisors, speakers, and authors, and I'm excited to say podcasters. They can't wait to share life stories and experiences, insightful and practical takeaways, encouragement, and you can always count on full-out honesty and lots of laughs along the way. Ready for some Trail Mix? Let's mix it up with Mary and Jody.
So this will be fun today, another Disney episode. We're going to talk about Jody's Disney treasures. I have been to her home, and she could be a museum. I mean, you really could. You could charge admission and take people on this glorious tour of all the super cool things that you have. So we're going to explore that again. I wanted to start with a fun Jack Sparrow quote that said, "Not all treasures are silver and gold, mate." And Jody has lots of treasures, Disney treasures. So I'm going to do an interview with her today, and we're going to find out more about this wonderful display. So first question is, so I'm calling it a Disney treasure. So what's your definition of a Disney treasure?
Well, I love that you use the Jack Sparrow, because a little bit nervous about the museum setup, because exactly what he said, treasures are not all valuable. They don't necessarily speak to anybody else. So I think at the very core, I think about a couple things. So usually it's tied either to people or places or perhaps a project. So if somebody gives you a treasure, or it has meaning because you had an experience with or surrounding the treasure in some way, or you were on a discovery, you know, about something and it involved the treasure. So it's not necessarily value in the true sense oftentimes people think about value. So, you know, no one else might want it. You might, you know, not be able to sell it. I always laugh because people will say, "Oh my gosh, have you ever thought about you could make so much money on eBay or whatever?" And I laugh because a lot of it, if you put it up on eBay or if you look at the, you know, price that it gets on eBay, it's not really that valuable cost-wise. We also laugh because, you know, I live in hurricane country, so we've had a couple hurricanes and we've evacuated for hurricanes quite a few times. And so a few of the treasures I'll put in the car if we happen to lose everything, you know, and we always laugh because we'll say, "Make sure to secure your valuables in your car." And Mom and I crack up because we say, "We pity the person that breaks into our car for our valuables, because they are going to be sorely disappointed and surprised by what's in there."
So I'm really curious, because the ones that you decide to evacuate with are like the treasures of the treasures. So tell us one or two of what is it that if a hurricane's coming, you go, no, I got to save this one.
Well, again, it's all tied to memories. So it's first of all, it starts with my very first trips to Disney with my family. And so my very first pair of mouse ears are really important to me, because I saved up my money. I bought them for my, you know, it was that whole experience of being there with my family and having this time that led then ultimately to this career. So those are important to me. Also, and you, Mary, having worked there, know the whole, you know, culture around name tags. So I have every place you work, and especially now going forward as other parks have opened, you get different name tags. And for celebrations, there will be name tags that say, you know, for the 50th anniversary or the... So I have a collection of all my name tags.
So if you had to guess how many of those you have, how many name tags do you have?
Well, you know, it's funny because one of the babies counted them one time when they were here and we laid them all out. And I have this bin of pins, but of the name tags specifically, I had 50 name tags.
Wow.
Now, the funny thing is, a few of the name tags, so I shouldn't tell the big secret, but if you forget your name tag, and I'm not sure what they do today, but in the good old days, if you couldn't find your name tag or you forgot your name tag, you had to get one because you couldn't go on stage. You couldn't, you know, be in an onstage area without a name tag because it's part of the company. You know, we're a first name company. Everyone knows you by name. You call people, you know, so the name tags obviously are really important. So one day I forgot my name tag and somebody just gave me one and it was this name tag that said Bambi.
Oh.
Well, so like that's one of my favorites because I can remember the story and it's the only time because I'm so anal and about all my name tags. I was so nervous. And then when they gave me that one, I thought it was so funny.
Oh, that's hysterical.
And so it was the only time in my time at Disney that I can remember forgetting my name tag. Oh. So anyway.
So like, in the those 50, are the kinds there's of a things. Bambi.
There's a Bambi. And then the other thing that is of value is, and I've mentioned this before, and again, it is valuable, but it's the story behind it. So I have this Italian leather purse that is the most beautiful. Honestly, it is a work of art. It should be in a museum. And it's hand-stitched. It's beautiful leather. It's from Italy. And my pal, Virginia, Virgie, was... So she was part of the treasure hunter. And a lot of things that I have, people have given me or they've found different places when they're traveling around the world, Disney things. And so she called John and said, oh my gosh, I'm on a business trip or over in Italy. There is this purse, but honestly, you're going to have to take a mortgage out for your house. But Jody would go crazy for this purse. It's red, this beautiful Mickey red color, and has at the very bottom of the purse, it's an interesting shape. There are these ears that you see, these black ears. And then the handles are interesting and pretty, and the leather is just beautiful. And, you know, it comes in the bag to keep it and then in a box. And so she said, I am willing to get it if you want this for her, blah, blah. So it was this whole thing that they plotted and I didn't know it. And they gave it to me. And honestly, it is so beautiful. I cried. But then the thing that makes both of them mad is, as you know about me, Mary, it was too beautiful. I could never carry it. So it is a museum piece.
It is a museum piece. Oh,
I have it up as a piece of art. I dust it off every once in a while. I take beautiful care of it with this leather, but I cannot carry it because I just am so nervous. Like the minute I would take it somewhere, you know, it would scratch into something. So it has this great story. So those are just three examples of things, you know, that just mean a lot.
Now, are there like collections of things that, like you say, I like to collect these types of things at Disney? And how did you decide what to collect and what not to collect?
Okay, well, interesting question because I wish early on I would have decided because I know people will, gosh, you know what a huge thing the pin trading is. Mm-hmm. And people that started pin trading before pin trading was even a thing. They have, you know, they went every place they went, they would get Disney pins. So their collections are fabulous. I didn't ever think to myself, besides, I guess, my name tags and a few things, I never thought, okay, I'm going to collect watches or I'm going to, That's another big one that people do. So for instance, when a new attraction would open, they would do a coffee mug, a t-shirt, a watch, a pin, all around those attractions. So some people, instead of buying those or getting, people would give gifts or say, what do you want? They would say, I want the pin from, especially when we started opening parks around the world. Because if you had, let's say, a Space Mountain pin from every Space Mountain opening at each different, you know, attraction, that would be huge. So I have to say, I'm not a category collector to the extent that a lot of people are. But there are, again, stories or Disney characters that I have always been my faves, so I've been drawn to those. So just by stumbling into it. So a couple of my favorite characters, Happy of the Dwarfs, which you don't find a lot of just Happy items. So I have the Yadrow that's a Happy, and I have the Hummel that's a Happy. And so I have Happy things. And then Mary Poppins, another favorite. So I have a Mary Poppins umbrella. I have the Mary Poppins hat. I have a Mary Poppins purse. And of course, not that I can use any of them, Mary. No, honestly, I think if I went to counseling, there would be a problem for this. It's like, no, it is, because my sister, it's so funny, she calls me a hoardenizer because I'm a hoarder, but I'm so organized and precious. Like I can't, you know, when you see that show, which I cannot watch, by the way, about hoarders where, you know, there's like empty pizza boxes under somebody's bed. And, you know, it's, I don't even want to laugh about it because obviously it's a very serious. So I don't have that where I keep paper clips and I keep just everything thinking I might need it. But the things like this, I get, I'm a little cuckoo crazy. So, but a couple of the other categories, one that's my favorite that people get a kick out of is, so one of my favorite princess, Belle, Beauty and the Beast. So I have a dining room that is Be Our Guest. So the, you know, napkins, the bowls, I have a Lumiere light in the, but now you're laughing because you feel like it's, you know, a cartoon character crazy. It's very tastefully
done. No, I've seen
done,
it. It is Be beautiful. It's just funny to hear it described.
I know. No, the other night there was some show that somebody was talking about and they go, it's just creepy. You know, the grown-up people that go to Disney all the time and they wear costumes and they have all this stuff in their house and they're like, it's really kind of creepy. It's not, I mean, it's one thing if it's a five-year-old and it's another. So as they were saying that, I was thinking of my house and my, you know, like, oh my gosh, I am that person that creeps people out. Although I don't, I do wear, you know, baseball caps and I have some clothes, but I don't get up every morning and dress like a Disney, character. Yeah. So I'd like to say there is a line.
There are limits.
There are limits.
Okay. So speaking of limits, okay. And I've been to your house and I've heard some of this story about kind of Disney-izing the house. So has there been some discussion with you and John about how much Disney can be in the house?
Okay. So here's the thing. It starts to, you know, there's like Disney creep. And so it ends up, you know, Disney. But so when we moved the last time, John ever so delicately said, you know, I think it would be good if we just sort of had some Disney free zones. And I thought, okay, well, that's fine. You know, I'm fine with that. And, but then he said, but where you do it, and what I get excited about, honestly, is that when kids come and families, and it just feels like this Disney burst of, you know, it's less about the homage to Disney, and it's more about the happy, fun spirit that it evokes when you, you know, are at a Disney park having a big time. So what I did is in areas, so we have a Disney bunk room and there's four beds in there and it's the kids' room. And there's a closet that has all the Disney toys and the beds, just, I mean, everything from the pillows to the sheets to the our Disney and
the bathroom,
all different.
The bathroom.
And I have a mirror that is in the shape of Mickey, and that was from Tokyo Disneyland. And so just, I mean, it's Mickey on steroids. So I think, and then there's a grown-up Mickey guest room that is much more subtle, where there are ears, but you, it's, so in those guest areas, I really went crazy. And then I do have a lot of kitchen, you know, dishware and things. So we have this one cabinet in the kitchen, which is all the Disney. And then, of course, I told you about the Be Our Guest dining area. Mm-hmm. So I try to have those areas, but every once in a while, there will be a little Disney creep. But in fairness to me, so John Dreyer is responsible for some of the Disney creep. Because he would give me, I mean, like I told you about the purse, or for our wedding, there's this beautiful cell of that's done in black and white that's Mickey and Minnie getting married. Well, he gave that to me. Okay. So what am I supposed to do?
That's
not put
right.
that
put
up?
It up? Yeah. Now, so does John have any favorites of all the Disney treasures that you have?
He doesn't have as much of the, for lack of a better word, stuff. But he does. We have this little wall of shame in a back hall that just leads to our bedroom that nobody would, you know, even have to walk through in our house. And so some pictures, and again, tied to people and experiences and his story, there are things. So for instance, he got to be really good friends with Ducky Nash and the voice of Donald Duck and the artist that did the animation. And so he has this great picture standing in front of a animated with Donald and all the different folks that were involved in that. So, mm-hmm. so for him, it's more, again, memorabilia that he was involved in. He mm-hmm. was in a advertising campaign for the launch of Big Thunder Mountain at mm-hmm. Walt Disney World. And so he's in one of the ads that ran in a magazine.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were in the news quite a bit with Michael Eisner, so I've seen this wall. It's not a wall of shame. It's beautiful. I mean, it's just all these framed pictures from newspapers and magazines and famous people. I mean, again, I still think it's worth the price of admission if you had a museum.
There you go. Except museum makes me think of somebody really old with too many cats.
Well,
it's like
children's
so preserved
museum. Yeah.
And there's dust everywhere.
Right. No, a children's
museum. I don't want
museum.
To be that person.
Active, engaged.
Okay.
Go from here to here. You could do, your own scavenger hunt of, find the Mickeys. Oh my gosh. How many Mickeys can you find in this house?
No, here's what's funny. When it's time to go to bed and the kids are in the bunk room and everything, I'll say, okay, I'm going to leave just a dim light on and count the Mickeys in the room. It's like counting sheep.
Yes.
You know, I hear them go, depending how old they are, the ones that can't count that high stop whenever they reach the number they go to. And then the ones that are older, you sort of hear them, you know, they're like maybe 1,000, blah, 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 blah. and then they fade off.
Oh, my gosh. So you talked about your favorite. So we got the purse. And did you say the name tags? What else are some of your favorites?
Well, I mean, again, I think like the game. I talked about the game closet or the closet where I have all the Mickey toys. Mm-hmm. I have Mickey toys from when we were little kids. Mm. So I have antique Mickey toys all the way up to current. So, for instance, all the games that are now, so there's Monopoly Disney version mm-hmm. and, you know, Scrabble Disney version and all those. So I have then all of those games.
Okay.
So I think, like, that's an interesting, again, I wouldn't, you know, it's not valuable. I wouldn't take it with me if I was, you know, evacuating. I wouldn't fill up my car with that. But I think that is fun because of the longevity and the story that it tells. Like, I can picture Disney things that, you know, my youngest brother, the baby Mike, you know, played with. And I remember that from our childhood. So I, going all the way back, I mean, it's anything that has a story or is part of your story tied to people and places and discoveries. And so, for instance, having worked on a lot of the different parks around the world, there's treasures from those parks. So not only the name tags, but I can remember, and in some cases it's good things that happen, and in other cases it was things that, you know, it was supposed to be ready to open on time and it wasn't quite ready. So we all had to go in and do. So then I have some memento from there. Or, for instance, my dad loved at the Disneyland Paris Hotel, they make these brownies. And of course, European chocolate, just in general, I don't know the difference. I should probably find out someday because I'm sure there's a secret, but it's just has a different taste. It's rich. Okay, there were these brownies that my dad...
Are you going to tell me you kept a brownie?
No, I did not keep a brownie. But there were these plates that had the Disneyland Paris Hotel, and they put out these brownies on them. Well, anybody else that would see this plate would be like, okay, it's pretty. I mean, they are very pretty, by the way. They have a Cinderella, the mice around the edge, and then this castle. I can't explain it. But anyway, it's this plate that's interesting, but it's not like a life changer. But for me, all I picture is sitting there with Dad having these brownies on this plate.
Okay.
So again, it's the whole definition of, you know, really true treasure. And people always have to, you know, do the lecture of you can't take it with you and it's just things. And I totally get all that. But I also feel that things, if they are in the right perspective, evoke great memories and they keep memories alive.
Right.
And so again, I think it has to be in the right perspective. I'm not doing it to think I'm going to make a bunch of money. You know, I don't run around with my treasures, except of course things I can't use, and think they're too precious. Like, we open the game closet and we play the games.
I was going to ask you, some of those really old games, are they available to be played with, or are they like the purse?
Oh no, absolutely. Now, there are a couple that it is interesting because the kids aren't interested in them because they're not as interactive or, you know, technology has advanced games in some ways. So, you know, they're just not as interested in them. Or, of course, they've been loved or played with to death. The ones that are always the winners are costumes through the years. Like, even ears. I have bins under the bed. I feel even like laughing telling this because it's, again, like I'm just this hoarder with all this. But anyway, and so you can pull out a box and it's, you know, the princess box. So it's princess things and crowns and wands. And then, but it's interesting to see them through the years.
Yeah.
So even that, again, now that's more for an adult, not a, that's a little bit lost on the babies, but the adults, that's what's interesting, is to see how things have changed. And even the materials, like I have my first little stuffed Mickey that I got on my first trip to Walt Disney World. And now even what the plush is so hard and it's not soft and cuddly. And now, oh my goodness, the plush, their pillows, you know, they're literally so soft you can sleep on them.
Wow. Wow. Well, this has been fun, just kind of exploring the treasures. There's another great quote that says, "The greatest treasures are those invisible to the eye, but found by the heart." I think describing, as you describe, all of your Disney treasures, I think they're both visible by the eye and also found by the heart, that there is a meaning and a wonderful opportunity just to reminisce about your career and your family. And so that, to me, is just wonderful. So I'm
okay,
sure.
But we can't end, though, because you, so that I don't look like the cuckoo Disney person, you have to have some treasures around your house.
I have a very few, which, again, comparatively doesn't match up. I will just say probably I have two that I will state are my favorite. One is two different animated cells. One of Cinderella and the birds putting her apron on, which is really sweet. And then another of the two mice of Cinderella. And then probably my favorite is a Pinocchio statue that I was given when I left the company and the marketing division. And it's because it's Pinocchio, it was described to me that I played the role of the conscience of, and so for me, that is, if there was one thing I had to put in my car, that would be it. But no, it pales in, mine is a drop in the bucket compared to your ocean of Disney treasures. But they still, you know, they're still really sweet and special. So we will wrap up as we just enjoy our Disney treasures, reminisce, sort through all the sweets and nuts of life, including our treasures. Enjoy your trail mix. And don't forget the chocolate.
Or the popcorn. You can find all of our Trail Mix episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. We would love you to rate and give us a review.
And follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Look for Trail Mix Pod with a picture of Trail Mix. To learn more about us, check out our new website, trailmixpod.com.
It was great to have you. Thanks for listening to Trail Mix, sorting through life's fruits, sweets, and nuts. Keep mixing it up. And remember, life is nuts. So don't forget the chocolate
or the popcorn.